is a commercial-free, streaming-on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
It all started somewhere above planet Earth.
For here am I, sitting in a tin can.
And after a few minor
changes,
he headed on out towards the far-off planets, returning with a new persona and a new band.
Now Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. From the very beginning, David Bowie has embraced the unknown in his never-ending search for something different to add to his music and character. But he does have to return home now and again. In February of this year, he touched down briefly on our fair blue planet to bring us his latest offering, Earthling.
The impetus for this album really was the tour that we did in 96. As we came off the road, we wanted to establish some kind of sonic photograph, really, of how we were as a band. And so we went to the studio, and I went in primarily with Reeves Cabrales, the guitar player that I worked with and have worked with for 10 years now. And we wrote the stuff in about a week, a long week, and the band came in and started recording. The recording process took about 2.5 weeks, all told. Yeah, we knew exactly what we wanted, and it really was a kind of almost a vanity showcase to show off the strengths of the band as much as anything else, because we just felt that we were damn good. And it was something we wanted to put down on CD.
Welcome to the first in a three-part series of Media America Radio's David Bowie. Up close.
Stinking weather, fans shaking hands, dirty morning, dark grumpy house. Little wonder then, little wonder, you little wonder you. Fit screen dolls, fits and explosions, sleepy time, that's all the news. Little wonder then, little wonder, you little wonder you.
I'm getting it.
Little wonder,
Little Wonder from Earthling. Here's a little demonstration for those of you who might try to read a little too deep into David Bowie's lyrics.
It crossed my mind that every day we kind of encounter little wonders and we don't necessarily notice them. And if perhaps we did, it might be some sort of reassurance of maybe a greater power at work. Was that in your mind at all, or was this just like...
Well, frankly, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pull that down completely.
Good.
What I did, I took the names of the seven dwarfs in the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs story. My exercise was to write a line about it, including the name of each dwarf.
So there's the sleepy reference.
And then I ran out of dwarfs, so I had to make them out like scummy and filth.
Another song from Earthling takes on the subject of China's invasion of Tibet in the early 1950s. The song's timeliness seems very appropriate considering the recent passing of China's leader, Deng Xiaoping. Here's David.
I had a teacher in the 60s called Chimmy Yongdong Rinpoche, and his story was remarkable, but in a nutshell, he fled from Lhasa, the capital of Tibet, to India, starting off with something between 2,000 and 3,000 devotees. And each and every day, as they struggled their way over the mountains by foot, the Chinese helicopters would come out and just pick them off like sport. And he ended up with 37 or 38 people by the time he actually got to India. The thousands were just mowed down. And it happened over and over again. I mean, virtual genocide was committed on Tibet. At that particular time, men were sterilized and women were forced to only have children through Chinese men. And to this day, I think the situation hasn't changed very much.
David Bowie's 7 years in Tibet from Earthling. A bunch of songs on the album are based on the infectious rhythms of jungle beats.
I started messing around with that about 93. Brian Eno and I kind of got... me more than Brian, I think. I was totally intoxicated by it. I thought it was a fantastic thing. It was primarily a black music. And inevitably, the whites jumped on it like crazy. And now, of course, there's a lot of whites, a lot of us, playing drum and bass, or as it was called then, jungle. But that's only a light influence on the album, I think. It really falls around with all the full scope of so-called dance genre. There are three tracks, basically, that are jungle on the album. The others, I guess, are really... I guess you call them traditional. Traditional techno. I mean, kind of stuff I've been doing since, like, Fashion on Scary Monsters. And, you know, a lot of it has that kind of feel.
Nowhere, shampoo, TV, come back, boys on, swim tie, showdown. Can't stop. Sky.
and Earthbound David Bowie looking for satellites. Stick around. David finds out that space travel can be dangerous when Up Close returns.
It's a bigger and better variety every day when you work. Thanks for making the switch to 92.9 WBPM. By the way, your customers have told us they like it too.
In 1969, David Bowie launched Space Oddity. The song's tale of a man stranded in space was just a hint of what was to come from David in the years to follow. It was inspired by 2001 A Space Odyssey, recent goings-on in the American space program, and perhaps by a fellow musician on David's record label. A
character called it the legendary Stardust Cowboy. That's where I got the Stardust part of Ziggy Stardust. And he was an artist recording on Mercury Records when I was with them when I did Space Oddity. And that he was like the only other name on the album, on the label that I had any interest in. He had a one-legged trumpet player and a drummer and he on guitar. It's the most absurdest sound you've ever heard in your life. And I've been trying to... He did a single called I Took a Trip on a Gemini Spacecraft. It is so funny. It is hysterical.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
8, 7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition
1.
And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door. And I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can.
Thank you.
Still orbiting Earth in the same year that man first landed on the moon, 1969, that was Space Oddity. The song was originally released on the album Man of Words, Man of Music, which was re-released as Space Oddity in 1972.
Little Richard was my patron saint when I was a kid. I heard his record. My father used to work for Dr. Bernardo's Homes, a children's organization in England. And for some reason or other, some record company sent a lot of records in. And I nicked all the Little Richard ones. I couldn't play them properly because we only had a 78 wind-up and no 45s with a hole in the middle. So I spent hours trying to find something that would fit on the spindle on my record player so I could play the things. And of course, they played fast, but I played them slowly. And I thought, these are great. So I ordered the same records through the record shop down the road, and I got them the big plastic 78s, which England was playing at the time. We didn't get 45s until quite a few years later. And Little Richard, really, at that age, was the one that influenced me the most. Mainly because of the dynamics of his energy and the sax lineup that he had. About two baritones and tenors and whatever. Impressed me a lot, and so I bought a tenor saxophone. That's what I started with.
We passed up on the stairs. He spoke of was and when, although I wasn't there. He said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone a long, long time ago. My way back home, I searched for home and land. For years and years I roamed. I gazed a gazeless stare at all the millions here. We must have died alone a long, long time ago.
Masquerading as the man who sold the world, that was David Bowie in 1970. Brace yourself for an invasion from Mars when David Bowie Up Close continues
The variety is the difference. 92.9 WBPM. Playing just great songs.
Hi, I'm Dan Near for Up Close. From the moment David Bowie first took to the stage, the world knew that he was no ordinary performer. To say that he stood out from the rest of the crowd would be an understatement.
I found what felt comfortable and then did the reverse so that it would put me primarily in an uncomfortable situation, which would force me to register some expression on that situation. I think I used to prod myself into writing by putting myself through extreme situations. I really felt that at the time that was the only thing that could really get me started. I suppose if there is any continual theme throughout whatever I've done, it's been a sort of a penchant for moving with my feelings. I'm not sure change is quite the word anymore, because I think there's a continuity that has run throughout my life and runs throughout my music. But I think, and I'm not sure that it evolves, it changes.
Still don't know what I was waiting for. And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to blow up on out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to her next to me.
Time may change me, but you can't twist time.
Changes from 1972's Hunky Dory. That same year, David Bowie introduced us to the world of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
Ziggy was developed as a character, and indeed, I guess in its own way, was a small variation on the English musical brought to rock terms in a tradition that followed the Tommies and, to a certain extent, Sgt. Pepper and the so-called concept album of the 60s. And it was almost a 70s variation on that.
One of the Spiders from Mars was the late guitarist, Mick Ronson.
He just did his own type of performance, which was very strong indeed. He was a natural performer. Very good lead guitar frontman. in that way. And I think an extremely great foil for the Ziggy character. He was really good. Because where he was kind of rooted in a very solid kind of thing, and Ziggy was fairly ephemeral, and I think the two worked off each other very well.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band.
Ziggy really sang. Screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. Became on so loaded man, well hung in snow white tan.
So where were the spiders?
Time jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass. He was the Nas with God-given ass. He took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar.
Making love with his ego.
The title character from the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars did not just appear in song alone. David Bowie was Ziggy Stardust, and he and the Spiders quickly set off to bring their vision of far-off galaxies to us earthbound mortals.
If ever I'm asked what's the greatest thing that's happened to me for achieving the kind of success that I have been lucky enough to have over the years, it's been travel more than anything else. I mean, I could never have traveled the way that I have been able to over the last 25 years. I've been just about everywhere, except White Plains. I never got to White Plains. But most countries that I always dreamed about going to, again, except Tibet. I never got to Tibet. I always wanted to go there. I've been lucky enough to do that thing, and it's just been a real the best and the most genuine kind of education.
Didn't know what time it was. The lights were low. Oh oh. I leaned back on my radio. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll at a solo set. Then the loud sound that seemed to fade came back like a slow voice on a wave of fade. That weren't no DJ, that was hazy cosmic jive.
There's a starman waiting in the sky. Come and meet us, but he thinks
Think that that character would probably be fairly shocked that one, that I was still alive, and that two, that I seem to have regained some sense of rationality about life and existence.
David Bowie, 20 years after the first appearance of Ziggy Stardust.
That person back then really, really felt that it was important to just push the envelope all the time, and that to live to some degree on the edge, to actually live on the edge as much as possible, was inherently the main reason for life. And my opinion has changed so radically through the years that I'm sure that he would look at me with distaste as being a conservative.
Time.
That was Suffragette City from the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
I guess I would have to say that moving to Berlin was probably the most important thing I did as an artist. It stopped me writing for rock and roll and writing for fame and writing for this and that, and put me back on the path that I originally started out, which is writing for me and writing as observation and emotionally felt observation of the society around me.
David Bowie, up close.
Great music can change the world. That's why we're here. 92.9 WBPM.
David took us on an intergalactic journey with Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. My, how things change.
I think that that character would probably be fairly shocked that, one, I was still alive, and that, two, that I seem to have regained some sense of rationality about life and existence.
Well, Ziggy himself may have long since burned out, but David's musical daring hasn't changed one bit.
For me, it's always been taking a new and exciting artistic avenue. I mean, that has always been my priority. I want to be able to continually to surprise myself as an artist. And I think if that element is not there, then things dissipate and you get into sort of a regularity of concept that becomes vegetating if you're not careful. I think for me personally, I have to really shake myself up musically every now and again to find out what it is that drew me into working with music in the first place.
David's latest shakeup came in the form of Earthling. We'll be hearing lots more from that later on. In the meantime, let's pick up the Bowie story in 1973. Welcome to part two of Media America Radio's David Bowie. Up close.
Small Gene Genius snuck off to the city, strung out on lasers and slashed back blazers and ate all your razors while pulling the waiters, talking about Monroe and walking on Snow White. New York's a go-go and everything tastes nice. Poor little greenie. Ooh. Get back on it. Gene Genie lives on his back. The Gene Genie loves chimney stacks. He's outrageous, he screams and he bawls. The Gene Genie, let yourself go. Smiles like a reptile. She loves him, but just for a short while. She'll scratch in the sand, won't let go his hand. He says he's a beautician, sells you nutrition, keeps all your dead hair for making up underwear. Poor little greenie. Ooh. The Gene Genie lives on his back. The Gene Genie loves chimney stacks. He's outrageous, he screams and he bawls. The Gene Genie, let yourself go. Oh.
Rub hard on David Bowie's Aladdin Sane and out pops the Gene Genie. Just 1 year later, in 1974, David unleashed Diamond Dogs.
Diamond Dogs was the first time I really played around with cutting up music. I'd been cutting up lyrics for a number of years, but that's the first time also that I'd played instruments myself all over the album. I had just broken up the Spiders and I didn't really want to entrust my music to another set of musicians at the time. So I tried everything myself, and the guitar, drums, and saxophones and synthesizers. And so it has a peculiarly idiosyncratic style. I find it very endearing, kind of remote and a bit scary. It's nice.
The Gal of the Diamond Dogs.
one of David Bowie's pet projects. That was the title track of Diamond Dogs. While the album itself was enduring some negative mutterings from the critics, the original cover underwent drastic surgery.
Well, they airbrushed the genitalia off from the dog. It was a French artist called Guy Pellat, who was extraordinary, brought out a book called Rock Dreams at that period, which was a great take on his vision of rock artists. And unfortunately, that one got, that particular dog on Diamond Dogs got castrated. It got returned now that it's out on Ryko Disc. He is with equipment. Rebel is just, for me, the funniest song. I just can't conceive how I wrote that now. I mean, I really must have felt that at the time, but Hot Tramp, I love you so. Don't give me grief. I mean, it's really, it's so flippant.
John Lennon speaks out on Bowie next on Up Close. Don't go away.
Miller in the morning, J.J. Carter middays, Randy Turner, the Rand Man in the afternoons, and the biggest hits of all time around the clock. Proceed to rock on with 92.9 WBPM.